Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to the Lord's house on this beautiful Sabbath morning. I just want to read one verse of Scripture to you. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 5. It's in keeping with Mother's Day. I want to think of the faith of a mother. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that's Paul speaking about Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. So we want to think of a godly mother. The influence of a godly mother will certainly highlight that in the will of the Lord in the message this morning. We're going to commence the worship as we sing together the words of the first psalm, that man hath perfect blessedness, who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinner's way. And we'll rise as we sing all of the verses together, please. Let's just bow together in prayer. We'll seek the Lord's face together. Heavenly Father, we lift our hearts to thee in prayer today, thankful that we're able to seek thee. I thank you for the privilege that we have. We're glad, Father, we can approach the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer. We thank you, Father, for thy day. Praise thee for this, the first day of the week. We thank you for the Lord's Day, a day that's given to the Lord, a day that we give to the public and the private exercises of thy worship. We thank you, Father, for a day that we can give in the service of the Master. We thank you, Father, we can begin the week with God. We're thankful that at the very commencement of a new week, we're able to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful Sabbath morning and that enables us to be in the house of God. Thank you too, Father, for this season of the year. Thank you for your hand upon us through the winter time, that you've brought us safely through the winter, and for your hand upon our homes and the provision that you've made for us. We remember, Father, as the psalmist declared, that you're the God that daily loads us with benefits. And we thank you, Father, for how you've blessed us in this week past. Thank you, Father, for enabling us even to come out to the service this morning, to be here in thy house to worship thee. Pray that you'll pour upon us even a spirit of worship just at this time. We pray, Father, as we're gathered here, that we will pour out our hearts in praise and in worship of thyself. I want to thank you, Father, even for the night set aside at the beginning of this past week for prayer and for lifting our hearts to thee, those additional seasons of prayer. We thank you for all that gathered, for the faithfulness of your people. Thank you, Father, just for blessing us as we waited upon thee. I want to ask, Father, that you'll hear and you'll answer our cries, even as a congregation. We pray for your blessing to be upon this work. We pray for the blessing of God to rest upon the future witness of this congregation. We want to pray, Father, even as we've sang about the blessed man of this first psalm, and whatsoever he did prospered. Lord, that would be our prayer and our desire for this church, that whatever we put our hand to in the cause of Christ and for the spread of the gospel, that the hand of God and blessing will rest upon it. Bless our efforts, Father, especially in the winning of souls to Christ. We want to ask that even this day will be a day of soul winning. Give us, Father, a renewed vision and a greater burden, even for those that are out of Christ, a greater burden especially for those in our family circle that know not Christ as their Savior. We want to ask, Father, you'll help us through the meeting today. We want to pray that you'll guide, especially in the things that are said. We pray for a word from God today. Lord, we need such a word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. So we pray, Father, come today and speak to us. Come today and minister to all of our hearts. Come and break the bread of life to us. Thank you for each person gathered in thy house today. Bless the homes, the families of this congregation. Lord, we ask thee to bless the families, especially with household salvation. We want to pray that every member of all of our families might be saved and would know the Lord. Think of this verse that we've read of Timothy, the unfeigned faith that was found in thee. And Lord, we want to pray that that would be true of all of our children and all of our young people, that early in life, that they'll come to Christ, that they'll remember their Creator in the days of their youth. We ask thee to remember every mother in the congregation, every grandmother too, on this Mother's Day. We thank you for the godly mothers of this church, this congregation. We want to pray that you'll encourage them today, those that have burdens and concerns. May they be able to bring them to the Lord. May they receive a word and encouragement from yourself today. We ask thee, Father, to bless the labors of every godly mother in this church as they bring up their little ones in the fear and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We think today of the high calling of motherhood. We remember that great promise of your word that if we train up a child in the way he should go, then when he is old, he will not depart from it. So I want to pray you'll fulfill that promise. Those mothers here today that are concerned about their children, that are wayward, those that are careless, those that are far away from thee today, Lord, answer their prayers honour their faithful labours as they brought those children up, as they brought them up when they were young, when they were infants, and taught them faithfully the word of God. May their prayers be answered. May you grant to them even the desires of their heart. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll bless our land with even more godly homes and with godly mothers. We pray that you'll bless this land of ours with many more Christian homes in the days and years that lies ahead. Lord, what a difference that would make to the life of this land. What an influence that would have upon the society in which we live. We pray, Father, that you'll raise up a godly seed, raise up a godly generation. We remember in the days of the judges, there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. And Father, that's true of our land even at this time. We pray that you'll raise up a generation that knows and fears and loves the Lord our God with all their heart and with all of their soul. Thank you, Father, for the outreach yesterday down in County Cavan. The Consider Christ outreach recommenced again. We praise thee for a good day that you blessed them with. Thank you, Father, for the going forth of your word. We remember the seed of the gospel sown in the south in years past, and you've said that if we cast our bread upon the waters, it shall return unto us after many days. So we're praying, Father, bless that work. Remember the Reverend Porter and the Reverend Crane, the Reverend Kerskadden, and all that are involved in that work. We pray, Father, that you'll use it greatly. We pray especially that many Roman Catholics and even many foreign nationals that live all across the South now might come to Christ even as a result of that witness. So, Father, hear our prayers, answer our cries, and we pray you'll abide with us now and help us and lead us. And we pray, Father, give us even today an Emmaus road experience. We pray that our hearts will burn within us while you talk with us by the way. We offer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to read in the Word of God, please. We're going to read together just in a few places. All in the book of Acts. The book of Acts in the 12th chapter, just to begin with. Acts chapter 12. We'll read a little section about this great prayer meeting. Acts 12, verse 11. The prayers of the church have been answered for the Lord's servant Peter. And the scriptures tell us in verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, when he'd had opportunity just to think about all that had happened, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And then if you look at the final verse of the chapter, it says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And then if you go down into the next chapter, the chapter 13, look at the verse 5. It says, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." And then the 13th verse, chapter 13, verse 13. "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos," remember that there's some places in the Bible now known by different names. Paphos is not one of them. It's the same Paphos in Cyprus that some of you may have holidayed in the past. "When Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." And then just one further reading in chapter 15. If you come over to the end of that chapter, the verse 36. Acts 15:36. It says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed on to Cyprus." Remember, Barnabas came originally from Cyprus. "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria." It's interesting, we don't think of Syria today as being a place that knew the blessing of the gospel. It's a stronghold of Islam today. But there was a great and strong church. Acts 13 tells you all about that. He went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So we'll end just there, the close of that 15th chapter. And we pray the Lord will add his blessing today to this, the public reading of his word. I want to welcome you all to the Lord's house. We're delighted to have you with us this pleasant time of the year. The Lord has favoured us with good weather. It's very nice that the clock has changed and the longer evenings have come in. It's a reminder of the faithfulness of God's word, that while the earth remains, there'll be the summer, the winter, the seed time, the harvest, the cold, and the heat. So we rejoice in these evidences all around us of the faithfulness of the word of God. We thank you for coming to the service today. We appreciate your presence. We welcome you on Mother's Day. A special word of welcome to all the mothers and grandmothers. And if you happen to be a great-grandmother, we welcome you all to the Lord's house. May this be a special day for you particularly. We welcome anyone that's visiting, all the children and the young people. We're thankful for your presence. And for those that are watching the live stream of the service as well, we're glad that you're able to join us also. We thank everyone that supported the extra nights of prayer at the beginning of the week, Monday and Tuesday evening, and then the midweek service on Wednesday. We appreciate your faithfulness. Some of you were present every evening. We know that there were some that were prevented from coming because of personal circumstances. We do understand that. We're thankful for all that we're able to gather. May the Lord bless you richly. And we certainly had good meetings, good times of prayer. And we're praying that we'll see answers to those cries, even over this weekend and in coming days in the work of God here. Remember, please, the service tonight, the gospel service at 6:30. Keep in mind that it's preceded by the half hour of prayer in the church hall downstairs. I'm preaching in Corrigarry in the will of the Lord this evening for the Reverend Cascadden. He and Miss McAfee travelled back from Uganda on Thursday, arrived in on Friday. We're thankful for your prayers for them. Miss McAfee's going to be making her deputation video over these next couple of weeks. She commences the meetings in just a little over 2 weeks' time, her deputation meetings, and she's going to be here up until the middle of May at this time, just after the missionary weekend, and then she'll go back to Uganda for 3 months or thereabouts and come back again in August and finish off the meetings up until October. The Reverend Cascadden was involved in the Consider Christ outreach yesterday. Those that were on the outreach ended up at the Corrigarry Church yesterday evening for some refreshment and fellowship together. So we're looking forward to go down to help our brother out this evening with the gospel service and to hear from him firsthand just about his time there in his time there in Uganda. Remember, the preacher here tonight is our brother, Mr. Andrew Dobbin, an elder from the Oma Church. His wife, Jennifer, is going to come with him, and she's going to give a brief word of testimony. We generally like to have a mother testify on Mother's Day, so we thought it would be nice, as our brother was coming, if his wife gave a wee word of testimony. We're thankful that she was willing to do that. So remember that service tonight. Come along and support the service and hear our brother and sister as they testify and bring the gospel. Our brother's going to preach on from the piggery to the party. That's the theme that he's taking up in the gospel tonight. There is a session meeting tomorrow evening here in the church at 7:30. We'll meet downstairs in the church hall. Just to remind the brethren of that. 7:15 on Tuesday night is the Bright Hours, both in the church and also down in Killalea. The season is coming to a close among the boys and girls, so we encourage all of the children to come out to the meetings on Tuesday night. Remember Wednesday evening at 8, the midweek service for prayer and Bible study. I'll be preaching myself at that service in the will of the Lord. Friday night's the youth fellowship, and the speaker is one of our youth leaders, Miss Hannah Carson. So remember the youth fellowship. We want to invite all the young people of the church to come along and give their support to those meetings. Next Lord's Day is the 3rd of April. The Sunday school and Bible class is at 10:40. The morning meeting 11:30. The evening service at 6:30. Remember the half hour of prayer before the evening service. Next Sunday night is the parents' night for the children's bright hours. It's just a wee while from we've been able to have a parents' night, so we're looking forward to it. The children of both the meetings will take part in the service next Sunday night, so do plan to come along. Encourage the children, the leaders, the workers. Take it as an opportunity as well to invite others along to the Lord's house. I'll bring a children's address in the will of the Lord at the service next Sunday night. The mission board's appeal for Ukraine, just to help the churches there and the refugees. So far, £975 and 69 pence has been given. We thank all that have contributed to that special appeal. Remember, if you're planning to give at this time, if you could do so by today, we'd like to send off what has come in as soon as possible. We're conscious of the great needs that there are among the Lord's people out there. If you want or you're able to give in the future, there's no difficulty with that. We can send the gift off whenever we receive it or whenever you're able to give it. But we would like to send off just what we have currently received by the end of this month. So if you're planning to give at this time, we'd appreciate if you could do that today. Take time to look at the literature as you're leaving. The latest Watching and Waiting magazine is available there for those that haven't received their copies yet. Continue to pray for Mrs. Watson just at this time. She'll know the Lord's presence and grace. And we're thankful that little Ava Parks is feeling much better. The family's thankful for your prayers. And the Watson family is also very thankful for the prayers of the Lord's people here in Armagh just at this time. Just to sympathise in the wider denomination with Dr. Lindsay Wilson, the minister of our Castledirg church, on the death of his mother, Mrs. Queenie Wilson. Mrs. Wilson was a member for many years of our Tandragee church, passed away during the week the funeral service was on Wednesday past. And we want to sympathise with Dr. Wilson and his family circle, and do continue to remember Dr. Wilson also in your prayers, that he'll know a healing and strengthening touch from the Lord himself. We're going to come to another hymn together. It's the hymn 510, "How I Praise Thee, Precious Saviour, that Thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might Thy channel be." So the hymn 510, we're going to leave out the middle verse. We'll sing verses 1 and 2 and 4 and 5. We'll omit the third verse, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. Let's just bow together again before the Lord in prayer. Father, we do remember the senior members of our congregation at this time, especially those that are no longer able to be with us here in the house of the Lord. We do remember our sister, Mrs. Watson, today, and pray that you might be very near to her. May she be conscious of your presence and may she prove your grace. We ask you to remember our brother Norman at this time as well, and our brother Jim Cross. Strengthen and undertake for both of these dear faithful servants of thine. We thank you, Father, for your hand upon little Ava just in recent days and for the touch that she has known. We thank you, Father, for the improvement that she has experienced, especially in these last few days. We ask that that might continue. Remember, Father, just all that are unwell, connected with our church at this time. Lord, be near to each one of them. We remember that great Jehovah title, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And Lord, it's our prayer for each one that is experiencing infirmity at this time, that it might be your will to grant to them a healing touch even from thyself. But we especially remember, Father, those that need spiritual healing, those that are not saved, those in our families that are not right with God, those that are backslidden, like Peter at that time following the Lord afar off. We pray, Father, that there might be fruit in these meetings, fruit for the preaching of your word. We pray that you'll give us much fruit in this church. Give us fruit that will remain in coming days to carry on this witness and this testimony. And we're asking, Father, that even this day it'll please thee to put your seal upon the word that will be preached morning and night, the testimony that will be given. Remember a brother and sister who will come this evening. May they come, Father, even as we've just been singing together as channels of blessing, even to this congregation. So answer these our prayers now, Father. Continue with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 12, and the verse 12 is our text this morning. It's one of those references that's a little easier to remember. Acts 12, verse 12. It says about Peter, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Think of the words in the middle of the verse. It says he came to the house of Mary, the mother. We're thinking today of the mothers. So the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. The message today is upon the life of young John Mark, but the life that he lived, the service that he rendered, was in no small measure due to his mother and the upbringing that he received and the example that his mother set to him. The theme, the title of the message, is The Man Who Left His Mark for God. As I've said, we're going to consider the life of young John Mark. He's the young man that's spoken of in this text, spoken of again at the end of the chapter. Can I point out to you, as we did last Sunday night, when we're thinking of Matthew, that Matthew had another name, that John Mark, or young Mark as we generally think of him, he's referred to in different ways in the New Testament scriptures. Just twice he's called Mark. Three times he's given both names. Three times he's called John Mark. On two occasions he's called John, just on its own. And on three other occasions he's called Marcus. Marcus is the Latin form of the name Mark. So it's important to understand that he is known, he's referred to in different ways. That will help you as you read the New Testament. It'll help you to identify the person or the man that you're actually reading about. If you think of the name Mark itself, one meaning that is given for that name is a large hammer. That might seem strange. It's certainly very interesting as a meaning of his name, but it actually gives you a great picture of how his life was used of God. Whenever you use a hammer, some of the men in the meeting this morning will use hammers on a regular basis. When you use a large hammer, it would leave its imprint. It would leave its mark. You would know where the hammer had fell, or you would know where the hammer had been used. Well, the same was true of Mark. We could sum up his life like this. Mark left his mark for God. The impact of his life was felt. It was felt on the early church, and it's still felt, men and women, as we read about it in the Word of God, and as we read the book that he penned. His life and the impact of his life is still felt to this very day. Even though, let me highlight it for you, even though he made some mistakes, even though young Mark had faltering steps, especially when he was a young man, setting out in the work of God. So there's encouragement there for you today that despite his mistakes, he did a work for God. His life had a strong, it had a powerful impact for the cause of the gospel. And I want to encourage you to think of the question this morning, is that true of you? Are you leaving your mark for God on this world? Are you leaving your mark for God on this wicked generation? Leaving your mark for God in this city of Armagh. So brethren and sisters, here's a life to challenge you. And there are many lessons to learn from the life of young John Mark. And I want us to consider a few of them as time will allow us this morning. Think first of all of his relation. Let me give you an important detail from Mark's family background. This is what we're told about Mark in Colossians 4, verse 10. Paul said, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. That's one of the places he's described as Marcus, and we're told he's sister's son to Barnabas. So we learn there that Barnabas was Mark's uncle. Mark's mother was Barnabas's sister. The lady that we read of here in Acts 12, verse 12, was Barnabas's sister. So Mark had a famous uncle. He was one of the best known. He was one of the most loved men in the New Testament church. And he was Mark's close relation. And let me remind you that Barnabas was the great encourager of the New Testament church. He was known as the son of consolation or the son of exhortation. That's what the name Barnabas actually means. Barnabas was a man that stood out for his ministry of encouragement. He stood out for the encouragement that he gave to others in the church. And we learn here about the encouragement he gave to his family, to his relations, to give their all to God, especially to the young people in his family. Can I point out, there's no mention of a father in Mark's home. It is believed his mother was a widow. So she brought the family, brought this young man up largely on her own. But you learn in the New Testament record that Barnabas helped his sister to bring up her son, to bring up her family. He was a great blessing. He was a great encouragement, even in his family circle. A major reason why Mark went on with God as he did was because of the encouragement of his uncle in the things of God. So can I ask you today, in the light of that, men and women, are you using your influence? Are you using your example for God? Are you using your influence for God in your family? Paul, writing to the Hebrews, said, we're to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. You're to encourage others. You're to be a Barnabas. You're to be like Barnabas. And I stress to you today that that should start in your own home, your own family, as he did. So just ask yourself, what sort of influence are you having upon your family? in spiritual things. His relation. Notice as well his habitation. If you notice carefully the words of our text, it says, and when he had considered the thing, talking about Peter, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So here we're given some details about the home in which Mark grew up. And we learn that his mother was called Mary, that honored name in the New Testament scripture. It was a popular name in those days, as it is now. There's at least six ladies in the New Testament who were called Mary. Maybe that's something you could do this afternoon among you as a family. Try to think of the other five Marys that are mentioned in the New Testament scriptures. It seems that Mark's mother was wealthy. She was a lady that was well-to-do. Can I stress that this was a large home? In fact, it was large enough, it was big enough for many people to gather in, many people to assemble in. Can remind you what the text says. There were many who were gathered together praying. So it seems she was a wealthy woman. But this wealthy woman had dedicated her home to the Lord, to the work of God. Remember that her brother Barnabas, he had been wealthy too. It seems it was a wealthy family. But he gave the money that he received for the land that he sold. He gave that money in its entirety to the Lord's work. Acts 4 records, having land, he sold it, and he brought the money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. So Barnabas gave his land, gave his money to the cause of Christ, and his sister, Mary, she gave her home. She dedicated her home to be used for the ministry of the early church there in the city of Jerusalem. Can remind you that back then, they had no purpose built churches or facilities. Mostly the church met in homes, as was the case here, or in rented rooms, like the upper room that was used for the Last Supper. So here's a woman who gave her home to the work of God. And that's how Mark met all the leaders of the early church back then in the days of the Acts of the Apostles. They would have been frequent visitors in this home. And she gave her home to be used for God's work at a time whenever Christians were being severely persecuted. Remember, James had been put to death. Peter had been arrested. He was now in prison. So it was a dangerous thing to be identified as a Christian. But she gave her home at that time for the church to come and assemble. So that shows her love, her dedication, her courage for the Lord. And it's clear that her home had often been used for church meetings. Because note the start of our text. It says that when Peter, had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. So Peter knew that night when the Lord miraculously got him out of prison, that was the place to go to. So it's clear it was well known in Jerusalem as the meeting place for God's people. So Mark's mother was wealthy. But more important, brethren and sisters, she was godly. She was saved. And she was a lady that was surrendered, and everything that she had was surrendered to Christ. And that's the home that Mark grew up in. And I say to you this morning, let us pray in these wicked days in which we live for more such homes, more godly homes, to be set up and established in our land. The Church of Christ owes much to this godly mother. And on this Mother's Day, let me stress to you very strongly how important a godly mother is in the home, and how important a godly mother is in the land. I say to every mother grandmother in the meeting. May you be encouraged as you see the example here of Mary. May you be encouraged to see how the Lord can use you as you bring up your child, your children, your grandchildren, as you bring them up in the fear and the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. So it's habitation. Think as well of his conversion. Mark had been converted to Christ. What a great blessing. Never lose sight, brethren and sisters, of the fact there's no greater blessing in your home than the conversion of your children, the conversion of your family members. Can I stress there are many things we're not told about Mark's conversion. For example, we're not told how he was converted, what were the circumstances. We're not told where he was converted. But two things are clear about Mark's conversion from the New Testament record. One is the time that he was converted. And the reality is he was saved when he was young. And I want to urge every young person in the meeting today to do the same. Get saved early in life. Don't wait until you're older. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. There would be no greater blessing for your mum and your dad and your family circle. Remember that a child saved is a life saved, a life that can be given in the Lord's service. Mr. Moody, whenever he was reporting on a meeting that he had conducted, he stated that 2.5 people were saved in the meeting. The people that he said that to thought the half was the child. He said, no, that was two children and an adult. The adult was the half, because their life was half over whenever they came to Christ. So Mark was saved young, no better time to come to Christ. But we also know the person through whom Mark was converted. And that person was Peter, the man that they were praying for, the man that was in prison, the man that was in death row at this time, the big Galilean fisherman. Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 13, this is what he declares. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. So that's another one of the three places where he's described as Marcus. So doth Marcus, my son. Remember, there's no mention made of Mark's physical father, but here's a reference here we're told about a spiritual father. Peter called Mark his son. That means, of course, his son in the faith. Peter was the man that had the privilege of leading this young man to the Lord in salvation. And from that, we see that Peter had a ministry among the young people, not just the adults. Sometimes when we think of men like Peter, we think of him just preaching to the adults, to large congregations of grown-ups. But he had a ministry as well among the young people. He led Mark to Christ at a young age. So I urge you to follow his example. Go out, men and women, and evangelize. Go out and evangelize the rising generation in this land of ours, that a generation will arise again in Ulster that knows the Lord, that fears the Lord, that has a love for the Lord and for all the things of God. It's vital, brethren and sisters, to evangelize the children. Vital to evangelize the young people, especially your own children, your own young people. Take the time regularly to teach your family the message of the gospel and to urge upon them the need to come to Jesus Christ in salvation. So it's conversion. Think as well about a supplication. If you look again at the end of our text, at the end of verse 12, it says, and when he had considered the thing, He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Can I highlight for you, brethren and sisters, that Acts 12, verse 12, this is the first time you ever meet Mark in the New Testament scriptures. For that reason, you should mark the verse. And the first time that you read about young Mark, you find him in the prayer meeting of the church. What an example that is to our hearts today. And it was one of the greatest, one of the most significant prayer meetings ever held in the history of the church. A prayer meeting that saw a miraculous answer to their prayer. In fact, when the Lord answered their prayer, they didn't believe that it had been answered. Whenever Rhoda went to the door and came back and said, "Peter's standing at the door," their response to her was, "You're mad." So John Mark, the first time you read about him, he's in the prayer meeting, one of the greatest prayer meetings ever held in the history of the church. And that's a challenge to all of our hearts today, whatever age you might be in this meeting. By his mother's example, in giving her home for prayer meetings, this young man was clearly taught the importance of prayer and the importance of the prayer meeting of the church. You ask yourself the question, brethren and sisters, what example do you set? What example do you set for your family regarding prayer meeting attendance? Is it good or is it bad? Does your family know? Just think of this. Does your family know that the prayer meeting is a vital meeting of the church by the way you support it, by the way that you attend it, by the efforts that you make to be present on prayer meeting night? And let me stress, brethren and sisters, here's a young man in the prayer meeting of the church. And what a blessing. What a blessing that is for any church. And the fact is, he wasn't the only young person in the meeting that night, because the following verse, verse 13, speaks of a young woman at the meeting as well. It says, a damsel. Remember, a damsel's like a teenager. A damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. So young people at the prayer meeting. Can I encourage this morning the young people of this church, the young believers in this church, to follow that example of Mark and of Rhoda? There's an example there for the boys. There's an example there for the girls. Can I encourage you to follow their example and come to the prayer meetings of this church? Young people, we need you. We need your presence. We need your prayers in the prayer meetings of the church. An older person in the meeting, can I ask you to encourage the young people to attend the prayer meetings, not just by telling them what to do. That there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than telling somebody what they need to do, but not doing it yourself. So you encourage the young people to attend the meetings by attending yourself, by setting them the right example of prayer meeting attendance. You listen carefully to these words of Mr. Spurgeon's. He said, "We shall never see much change for the better in our churches in general till the prayer meeting occupies a higher place in the esteem of Christians." Just think of that. Let me repeat it for you. We shall never, doesn't matter what you do, how hard you try, we shall never see much change for the better in our churches in general till the prayer meeting occupies a higher place in the esteem of Christians. So, brethren and sisters, the importance of the prayer meeting of the church. You know, we talk about revival, and it's good to do that. Revival certainly is needed in the days in which we live. As the hymn writer said, where is our hope of survival? Save in thy life-giving breath. But first and foremost, brethren and sisters, we need a revival in the prayer meetings. A revival in the prayer meetings of the church. I'm going to finish the message. There's three other things about John that I wanted to highlight in the will of the Lord. We'll come back to those next week, or John Mark. Remember, we're engaged in character studies. We felt that this one would be appropriate for this day. But I'm going to finish with this thought as you're thinking of a supplication. We meet John Mark in the prayer meeting. The first place we meet him, the first place we find him in all the Word of God, the prayer meeting of the church. Can I ask you, brother, sister, do we ever meet you in the prayer meeting of the church? In 11 and a half years as the minister of this congregation, have I ever met you? Have I ever saw you? Have you ever attended any of the prayer meetings of this church? I pray if it has not been the case, that the Lord might speak to you. Not me. I'm just the Lord's messenger. If there's going to be any change in your life, if there's going to be any change in the prayer meetings of this church, it'll only be as the Lord speaks to you. So I pray that he might do that. He might challenge your heart about that matter this very day. 523, please, is our closing hymn. Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter under the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. We didn't get to the part in the message about his work for the Lord. We'll come to that next week. But may these words speak to all of our hearts as we sing them together as we close. 5, 2, 3, and we'll rise to sing, please. Father, we thank you for the time we've had around the Word of God today. We thank you for all that you've revealed to us in the scriptures about your young servant, John Mark. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to ponder all these things in our hearts. We want to pray that you'll bless our lives and our homes. May every young person here give their heart and life to Christ early in life. We pray that also while they're young, they'll purpose in their heart that they're going to follow Christ and serve him with all their heart, with all their soul. Lord, give us a greater love for the children, the young people of the church, and the children and the young people of this city and of this community. Pray you'll bless the prayer meetings of this church. Lord, strengthen them. We pray that you'll lead them on. We pray the power of God will be known in them, that prayer will be answered as this church cries to the Lord. We pray that it will be the very powerhouse of this congregation in coming days. Bless us with young people in our prayer meetings. Lay the burden of prayer upon the youth of this congregation. And Lord, lead us on, we ask of thee, even as a church. Remember next Sunday night, that special service, as the bright hours take place. May the hand of God be upon it. Remember your servants that come to minister here this evening. Lord, take them up and use them. And we pray that you'll bless even that gospel service in the winning of souls to Christ. And now may the blessing of the triune God, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.